All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com.
Welcome to another edition of Word Bros. On today's show, we have the amazing and talented bowtie guy, Jamie Jones.
Jamie Jones. He's got a Kickstarter that he recently completed. It was the Pink Lemonade Baboon Jamboree that just wrapped up on Kickstarter. I'm sure there'll be ways to get this book outside of the Kickstarter. And Jamie is a wonderful guy. I love Jamie. Like, there's just no other way to put it. He's just such a good-natured, fun dude.
He's a great guy, and he's very like salt of the earth, old-fashioned Jamie. He's you think a nice lemonade and a guy mowing the lawn with the old school push mower that doesn't even have gasoline on it. You know,
that's your not racist grandpa in the body of like a 30-year-old man. Like, if
that's perfect.
You know, like, so if you had a grandpa that wasn't like a screaming racist, because unfortunately I think a lot of white people had screaming racist grandparents. Think about a non-screaming racist grandparent who just wants to tell you about Will Eisner and shit.
But he's actually like 30. Like, your grandpa, yeah, when he was like 30 and he was before any tragic weird things happened to him and he got transported and he made comics in the 30s and now he makes comics.
You know, I bet it was like one of those Fred Savage movies from the 80s where he switched bodies.
Jamie Jones switched bodies. I wouldn't be shy. Jamie Jones is actually secretly Will Eisner. He just changed bodies with somebody. He had his brain transplanted.
Yeah, like at that, some point they just
like that Red Sox pitcher wanted to do.
Yeah, like Ted the Williams. Fucking, no, it was Ted Williams. Ted Williams. Yeah, but at some point, Jamie Jones and his grandpa
switched
bodies. Yeah.
So Jamie Jones's
real persona is stuck in like some 80-year-old guy who shits himself at some retirement home somewhere. And this guy is free to walk the earth and make great comics. So let's talk to Jamie Jones. And yep, so check this out.
Yet you can hear it. Yes, you have.
No, I mean, I've heard Jamie do it in person when we hang out together at conventions like Heroes, but I have not heard it yet on this recording of the Word Bros Podcast.
All right, welcome everybody. Hi, I'm Bob, with my host Kevin Cuff. We are the Word Bros. Welcome to the Word Bros Podcast.
It's not bad.
Our very special guest, Jamie, man, how's it going? How's everything going with you? You're working on some pretty cool comics lately.
It's a weird mix of like,
it's like Shaggy from Scooby Doo. Yeah,
it's like a rat.
Haven't done it in a very long time.
He's out of practice.
It's like a raspy Shaggy.
That's what you. Are you like Swinks the Qualkiv?
I would like to get my wife in here to have her listen to it to think if it actually sounds like me. Because I don't know what my own voice sounds like, because it's my voice. It sounds different to me than you. Kevin, I think it's close. I really enjoyed
it. It was closer before.
It was definitely closer before.
He's out of practice.
He is. Next time he does it, I'll just be like, "Ruh-roh, Bobby."
I say I enjoy the Jamie Jones face that he makes when he's doing.
It's a good face.
It's a lot of face.
He emotes very well. He does a bow and emote very well.
So right now, I think we'll be able to get this episode out in time. We may have to move a few things around, but Jamie Jones is currently running a Kickstarter for the Baboon / Pink Lemonade Jamboree, and it is called the Indie Crossover of the Year.
That's wow. Right.
That's awesome. Now, first off, when I hear the word jamboree, I automatically think like a church function. Like, I don't know
I
why.
I think of a music festival.
I just think of a church function.
And I think why. Of a music festival.
So tell me, what is the Pink Lemonade Baboon Jamboree all about, Jamie Chase?
I mean, it's the comics, the indie comics crossover event of the year.
That's what it says. I mean, that's what it says.
Go bigger.
No explanation needed. Yeah, no explanation needed.
But Jamie, here on the Word Bros, man, we're trying to get behind the catchphrases and the hot marketing tips, dude. We want to know what this bad boy is all about. Like, is this a crossover event where the Baboon and Pink Lemonade meet in a crazy world, or is this like a split book, or what's happening here, Jamie?
Have they always occupied the same world?
Yes.
Well, that's the thing, Kev. Let me back up a little bit. Late last year, I was reading a bunch of 90s Image books, namely Savage Dragon. I was reading a bunch of Savage Dragon.
Which is really, Savage Dragon's good stuff.
It is. I adore it. But, and what I thought was really, really cool was Savage Dragon was kind of a place for other books. All the other Image books cross over into Savage Dragon. You've got a Spawn crossover. You've got a Max crossover. That weird character that Jerry Ordway did has a crossover.
Right? Really?
Yeah. The guy with the star on his face.
Yeah.
I can never remember what his name is. But they, in like the Turtles crossover into Savage Dragon.
Really?
Issue 2, man. Like, it's early. it's crazy that happens, but what I really love about it is it isn't like some world bending, time bending, timey wimey thing, right? It's literally just, oh, the Turtles are from New York, Savage Dragon's from Chicago. The Turtles come over to Chicago for a little bit, and of course they run into Savage Dragon.
Yeah,
it was for Deep Dish Pizza.
Right. Bad Rock and Bad Rock is in literally issue 2 of Savage Dragon.
That's interesting.
From Young Bloods, just to come over to be like, oh, I heard there was a new superhero in town. I want to know if you'd be able to cut it with the Young Bloods. Like, that's literally the conceit of that issue is Bad Rock just comes into Chicago to beat up Savage Dragon.
Interesting.
It's great, and I missed that kind of fun crossover stuff. So I was like, you know, I'm gonna do it, and Pink Lemonade works perfectly with the Baboon for that kind of thing. So it takes place at a comic convention, and there is a Dr. Deluminex is the villain, and he has come to ruin everyone's day, and Baboon and Pink Lemonade have to team up to stop and save Comic-Con.
Now, this, because I'm not going to lie to you, I'm not familiar with Pink Lemonade stuff, so is this Dr. Deluminex, is this a Savage, it's Savage Dragon. Is this a Baboon villain? Is this a Pink Lemonade villain? Or is this an original villain just for this tale?
We made up the villain for the tale, but he has some beef with the Baboon in a previous adventure that we never see, right?
Okay. I love that. I'm always a big fan of that.
Nick also designed the character, so it has kind of like a weird... Nick is great and has Silver Age character design running through his veins. I literally asked him, I was like, hey, do you think you want to design the villain? And he came back within 30 minutes and had a fully realized character. Just bam, there it was. And I was like, this is perfect. I don't even have to, it works so well. But he's got that really great 60s, 70s sensibility.
Yeah, you guys both kind of have that old-timey comics thing. It's like going into, it's like someone opened up a comics time vault and, you know, time capsule. And here we are back in like the grand old age of like 1964 and Jamie Jones and this Nick character. Now, what's Nick's name? Nick?
Nick Cagnetti.
Nick Cagnetti. And you guys came together to create this book. And it looks really great.
Like, it does. It looks good.
It looks super fun. Like, you got your styles complement each other very, very well.
And what's fun about it from an artistic standpoint is I penciled and inked it and he colored it.
Nice.
So it's I feel like I have a very distinct color palette and he has a very distinct color palette, and I have a very distinct inking line and he has a very distinct inking line. So it was fun to flip those.
That's awesome.
And if we ever do another one, it would be him penciling and inking and me coloring.
All right. That sounds cool. Yeah. So you guys talked about this. Now, this was something that was going to happen at Heroes, but unfortunately the pandemic hit and then you couldn't do any of this stuff. So you guys just decided to take this thing to Kickstarter, correct?
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was supposed to just be us printing it ourselves and then bringing it to conventions to sell, but Kickstarter it is.
Kickstarter. And you guys funded it in like the first day.
The first hour.
That's awesome.
Wow.
It was insane.
That's awesome.
It's a very low goal. It's a very modest campaign.
Hey, Jamie Jones.
Why are you belittling your success, man?
Yeah, none of that shit on Word Bros, dude. You sing yourself to the praises, my man. You funded
it. You have to talk about how awesome the bow tie guy is. That's what we're here to talk about.
Well, good. We funded within an hour, and we're now currently like 650% funded or something like that.
Yeah, cut that promo, Jamie. I see you. That's right. I see you.
Yeah, I don't care. Jamie, I don't care if your goal is $10 or $10,000. If you fund in an hour, you still fund in an hour.
That's true.
And you deserve every minute of it. And you just got a $50 pledge, baby, because I want my Zorro drawing. Well, Jamie, over the quarantine, I don't know if you're still doing these.
He was doing those awesome Golden Age.
Yes, he was doing those wonderful Golden Age drawings, and he kept just putting them out. If you follow Jamie on Facebook or Instagram, what's your Facebook and Instagram, Jamie?
It's Art of Jamie Jones.
Oh, there you go. So you were putting this stuff out, and you were posting these beautiful, like, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for here? Public domain characters. You were putting these out every day as like your warm-ups, and you were doing them, and I kept bugging you, do Flash Gordon. And he finally did Flash Gordon, and it's in my living room, and it's awesome. And now I keep bugging you, do Zorro. So I figured the only way I'm going to get you to do what I want is if I pay you. So
I mean, I would have done it anyway, but
no, you wouldn't have.
I would have. He's like, I was getting to it.
Honestly, the past couple of weeks have been bonkers in terms of deadline stuff for some illustration work that I've been doing. So everything's been put on hold, and I am tired.
Now, are you talking about those beer labels that you were doing?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
So tell us
a little bit about that. Yeah.
Thanks, Kev.
Yeah, I'm working with 81 Bay Brewery in Tampa to redesign and do some illustration work for their beer cans. That's really as far as it goes.
So if you're drinking beer in Tampa, you might be drinking a Jamie Jones beer.
Yeah,
that could be happening. And most likely you are. Like that's his art on your beer can.
That's Jamie designed the Miller Lite logo. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Right.
That's all I mean.
Back in the day in 1946, before he got into the time machine, he actually came up with the logo, and then he came to the future to save comics.
Yeah, Jamie, you are like, Kevin and I were talking about this earlier.
He's Buck Rogers of comics.
You are Buck Rogers. Like you're a man out of a different time. Like you're a man from the 1930s who was awoken in 2010, and now you're forced to live in this time stream.
I'm okay with that. This past year has been a lot of me reading a bunch of old comic strips. For the longest time, I was able to say that I had not read a comic book published after 1950. So I was reading just everything was old, and everything was like turn of the century old. I got really, really, really into it.
What was your favorite one?
Oh, dude, I am super, super into Wash Tubs by Roy Crane.
Wash Tubs?
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Bobby's laughing hard again.
Wash Tubs. It also featuring Captain Easy. It's where Captain Easy came out first, but it's so good. I got this collection for a dollar. I got five of them for a dollar.
And
I
was like, 'cause you got it at an estate sale and the family didn't know what to do.
I got it at a comic shop that didn't know what to do with it. That's honestly what happened.
'Cause you were there when it was a nickel. That's why. That's what happened. Yeah.
I won't pay more than a dollar for my comics.
Nobody knows about your DeLorean except for us, Jamie. We're here to call you on your bullshit.
It's not even a DeLorean. I'm telling you, it's like a biplane. It's like an old biplane.
See that? That's why I laugh so hard. I can see him strapping on the thing in the goggles like the old Rocketeer movie. And he like gets in the plane and like takes off and it like busts barriers. Then he's in like modern comics. He's like, da, 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 da.
You know my dad's a test pilot, right? Like in real life.
You're just giving away your secret origin so easily.
You're one of my favorite people in comics.
I love Jamie.
Your Kickstarter is live right now. Like I said, I'm going to move some stuff around. It is The Baboon and Pink Lemonade. You can check that out. Now, how and why did you hook up with the Pink Lemonade dude? Like, how did that thing come about?
I had been a fan of Nick's work for a while. He had been doing a couple of books with a buddy of his, just trying to kind of figure out where his footing was and all of that. Nick is young. I think Nick's 24. So he's young and he was figuring out comics even 4 years ago. So he was doing some books with his buddy and I found him on Instagram just randomly and liked his work and started following him and bought some comics from him. And he started doing Pink Lemonade as a web strip just on Instagram. And that was a couple years ago. And Pink Lemonade launched, the actual comic book launched at Heroes Con.
Oh, that's cool.
The same convention that The Baboon also launched was at that same convention. And You were there.
Awesome.
I remember I bought Metal Shark Bro from Bobby for a nickel.
That's right, he did. It was a Buffalo nickel too. It ended up being worth thousands of dollars. I paid for some dental work for my kids. It was wonderful. My wife is like, I can't believe you sold your comic for a nickel. I said, this is an 1845 Buffalo nickel. We're gonna be rich. Jamie's a man from the past.
So you met him at Heroes, and then
We just hit it off and we started talking about stuff. And Pink Lemonade is in a similar vein to The Baboon, where it's a wholesome action adventure-y type of character. And I was reading Savage Dragon and I was like, oh man, I really want to do this. And I just texted Nick and he got back to me within like 10 minutes and was like, yes, I'm down. I've actually been thinking the same thing.
That's really cool.
And then we actually did it, which is, you know, so few and far between. You think of something and you're like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. We can do it. And we actually did it.
Well, see, I think in your cases as well, because you guys can kind of trade work out to each other. Whereas like you, me and Kevin have talked about doing work, but we have to have money to pay you. And that's sometimes where it gets dicey. Whereas if you're working with another artist, you can draw it, he can color it. And then you kind of go from, so it's like you guys are trading work out. Is that how something like this kind of works?
Yeah,
it wouldn't make sense to be like, okay, you pay me to draw it and then I'll pay you to color it, because then at that point you're just passing the same 20 bucks around.
Right, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. What's nice is because this Kickstarter has done so well, this is the first time this has ever happened to me for a Kickstarter, I think we're making money from it.
Holy shit. Jamie, don't say I'm going to edit that part out.
Well, you can't say that. You can't say that about Kickstarter, Jamie.
No, I think
you cursed yourself. No, don't say it.
No, well, I mean, this is what it ends up being. It's like, we'll be able to pay ourselves to make the next one.
That's right. Awesome.
Like, that's kind of what this does and allows us to. Nick has also been taking a lot of illustration work recently too, and we were talking about that just recently, and it kind of cuts into your making comics time, having to do illustration work, having to do commissions, selling, just having to go to the post office is a big hassle.
Sound like you're doing a stamps.com commercial, Jamie. And because you're an actor too, so it was very believable. It's like, wow, you know what, I just went to the post office a lot for my Kickstarter and it was a hassle. That guy's right. What can I do about it, voiceover guy?
What is the one that you recommended to me? Have you used that more? No, the pirate.
I'm going to use that one for the Ninja Nun Kickstarter that Kevin and I are going to run here soon.
It's like pirate booty mail.
It's pirate mail. Pirate booty mail. That one was recommended by Kyle Starks. And from what I understand, you don't need an account. So they don't have like a monthly fee, which sounds nice.
It does. I actually just found out recently that I had a Stamps account that I was not aware that I signed up for, and they were charging me.
Really?
And you're like, ding, I could use that $2 a month. Cause in 1944, this is my rent payment.
Dude, it's not $2. It's like significant. It's more than Photoshop.
Wow, that's crazy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for people who, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so you know, this episode is not brought to you by stamps.com. Okay, go ahead, Kevin, whatever you say.
That's good to say. For people who aren't familiar with your work on the baboon, and for people who aren't familiar with Pink Lemonade, can you explain to people what these two concepts are so they can more likely embrace your idea of co-worldliness and such?
I am impressed, Kevin. That is a great question.
That is a great question. The Baboon is the wholesome pulp action adventure comic you forgot you were missing. It was a book that I originally funded on Kickstarter a year ago now, and it is the original book. The first book was a 64-page hardcover, nice-looking thing, one-and-done story. And I have since taken the character to a bunch of little mini comics that I've done with I've started doing a comic strip with him. It is just action adventure fun, all ages, without the all, I consider it a family comic, right? It is a comic that can be read to your kids, and your kids can read it, and you can read it, and you'll find enjoyment in the same thing.
It's true. I actually gave the Kickstarter version that I got from you to a kid because I worked at an elementary school last year who was super into comics. So I gave him your Baboon book and I was like, you'll love this. And he got back to me like, because you know how kids are with books. They just devour them. You know, they'll read them instantly. He got back to me the next day. I was like, that was so much fun. I really liked it. Do you have any more of them? And I was like, yeah, I got a couple. So I gave him the boxing one too. And I mean, it's wholesome and it's good fun, man. It's a really great book. You've got a real winner on your hands there, Jamie.
What's fun about it, and now I have an editor for the project. I've went and found a person who I trust to be my editor. And it's been really great. It also has opened up so much of the world of the Baboon to me, where I'm saying like, I'm doing this comic strip and the editor's like, yeah, diversify everything. They're like, hey, do you think you want to write a chapter book for the Baboon?
That's and I was like, cool.
I hadn't even thought of it, but yeah, I guess that would also be cool. So it's more like, what's the story that I want to tell? How to tell the story? What's the best medium? What's the best format? And go forward from there. My brother and I are writing an RPG, a tabletop RPG for the Baboon, which we just play tested for the first time last Sunday.
That's cool.
In person. It was a crazy thing. We have met, we have since COVID, since the shutdown, we've been online and we went to a game shop that's open and we had me and my brother and the owner of the game shop and our friend Jack, and we sat at like opposite ends of a table to play test this thing in person just to make sure the mechanics worked well. But yeah, it's just like diversifying the character and figuring out new ways to make money off of stuff.
Well, that's, I mean, it's an interesting idea. I mean, and if you have this IP that you're passionate about and you want to tell all your stories, you might as well tell all your stories.
Yeah, it's interesting too. And this is stuff that I've just been thinking about a lot recently, is any type of story that I want to tell, I can just put the baboon on. Hellboy has the same thing, right?
Yes, very much.
Where Hellboy, it's like Mike Mignola is like, oh, I want to tell a fairy tale story, Hellboy. I want to do an old Norse story, Hellboy. I want to do Victorian England, Hellboy.
Yeah.
Right? He can do whatever he wants with Hellboy. The baboon is starting to become that for me, where I have ideas for stories and I'm like, maybe this is just a baboon story. Let me see if I can rework this. There are also a lot of really fun characters that I've started to introduce. I've got in the first mini comic, it was Lorenzo Colt, who is the occultist of the baboon world. And that was a really fun thing to do. And like, now I just have this occult character just sitting in the background, and I can, if I want to do an occult story, I've got a character for that, and that's, it's awesome, tied to the baboon.
Yeah. Editor's note, see Vampire of Venice.
Yes.
Kevin, but Kevin and I have a very similar sensibility with Metal Shark Bro, because I think that's one of the things that Kevin and I have talked about since kind of the beginning. Metal Shark Bro is Bugs Bunny. You can put Bugs Bunny anywhere, and Bugs Bunny works. Right. So Kevin and I have kind of had that attitude about it, where like, if the reader is willing to go with you on the initial journey, you can kind of take them anywhere you want to go.
Right.
And that's the fun of kind of whimsical things such as the baboon and Metal Shark Bro. Very different in tone and tenor, but still the same sense of adventure, if you will.
Yeah. And that transitions pretty well to Pink Lemonade as well. She is a character who has lost her memory and is kind of rediscovering the mixed pitches. This is a character wandering through the world, rediscovering the finer things in life, like cartoons and cereal, right? Like, she is this young minded character who's able to travel through and have adventures, and her sense of wonder is great compared to and contrasting to the baboon. She knows who the baboon is when we get into the jamboree. She's like, oh, I know who you are. My friend Ron Radical told me about this secret mission you guys went on in France, and it was super fun. And it's just a really wholesome character who's great and fun and is kind of an analog for a reader to be discovering this world that she inhabits as well.
Kevin, you got anything?
No, I was just waiting for at the winter if he was done. Because
now, if I want to pick,
because Jamie pauses a lot in his conversation, so he can make sure he's like, saying the right thing.
Like Shatner. Jamie, if I want to pick up any of the baboon stuff, how much of this is available on the current Kickstarter right now? I see that you're offering a tier that is the baboon hardcover that you put out last year and the Pink Lemonade book. But I mean, is there anywhere else that I can, because you mentioned a mini comic as well. Are you going to collect this comic strip that you're working on? Like, if I want to get all my baboon stuff, how do I go about doing that?
Yeah, so that's a good question.
Thank you.
Currently I have a Big Cartel site. I think it's artofjamiejones.bigcartel.com.
Okay.
Where you can get all of the mini comics. I think the Vampire of Venice is sold out. But my plan is to collect all of the mini comics and short stories that I do as the third hardcover book.
Okay.
I'm writing the second one now.
With your editor.
With my editor.
Oh, who's your editor?
Let me name drop Vita Ayala.
Ooh, nice. Ooh, look at this. Nice.
They're one of my best friends, and I've collaborated with them on several projects. And it just kind of happened that I was talking about needing an editor, and I asked them if they would be down for it, and they said yes. And we were, since the shutdown, we've been talking once a week, anyway. So it just kind of worked out where I now send them my script and I send them thumbnails.
And if you're going to send a script to somebody, I mean, Vita's such an amazing talent. Like, to have someone like that on board has got to be wonderful.
It's super great. They are, they notice things that I just don't notice. And it's great to have their perspective on things. And moving forward, I can always like check myself to make sure, you know, is this kosher? Can I do this, Vita? And Vita's always like, thumbs up, you're good. A lot of what my editing notes from Vita have been are, let's decompress it a little bit more. I am of the age of comic books where they were 22 pages, and it's a, you know, back in my day, boys, comic books were 8-page short stories that just self-contained, and you got a lot of story in 8 pages. I tend to.
So what you're saying is you're verbose. You talk a lot.
I don't talk a lot, but I will take a fight scene and I'll stick it in 1/3 of a page, right? Okay. Like an entire fight scene, which doesn't need to be that. We've also adjusted story wise, what the book is, who the main character is. After doing the first Baboon book, I realized very quickly that Barton Marlowe Jr., the baboon, is not the main character of the story. It's Jamie, the sidekick, Monkey Bones. And moving forward with it, it is more Jamie focused, and it's more about his relationship with being the sidekick and wanting to have his own adventures. So it's shifted ever so slightly. And that's one of the reasons why I'm like, hey, I'm going to do some Baboon comic strips, and it's just going to feature the Baboon. It's like pre-Jamie stuff.
Okay.
Which is great, because it still allows me to do cool, awesome action adventure Baboon stories. And then I can have the hardcover books kind of have the canonical narrative that we're going for.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, and you have worked with Vita Ayala in the past. You guys did a Comixology thing, Quarter Killer, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. We did Quarter Killer. We have also done several. We did the Puerto Rico Strong anthology book that came out. Mm-hmm. We've been friends for a while, and we seem to always just fall into working together.
Can you tell us what the Quarter Killer is about? So if people want to pick that up, they can.
Quarter Killer. Yeah. I always forget that Quarter Killer is the thing, because it's not physically in my hands.
That's right. Again, you know. you're a man who likes paper.
You had to diversify your portfolio, man. In 1944, there was only printed material. We have the internets now, Jamie Jones.
Quarter Killer is a kind of Robin Hood of the hood. It's a Afro cyberpunk heist comic.
Nice.
Each comic is kind of a self-contained story that links up to a larger narrative. We really wanted it to feel like older style comics, like 80s comics. Jim Shooter era, every comic is somebody's first comic.
Mm-hmm.
Very hard line in the sand idea for it. It was a lot of fun. We are looking at maybe possibly doing more comics.
Cool.
It was creator owned, so we have that, so we can do whatever we want for it.
Now you can print that if you want to. If you talk to Vita and they're with that, then you can do that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you just have to wait a certain amount of time, or
I think that's you know, the contract stuff is it. It is now at the point where it's been so long that I don't really remember the details of all of that stuff. Because we started like last year, like this time last year, I think I knew that I was going to be working on the book.
I believe that's when I saw the advertisements for it, because I saw that illustration that you had done for it, and it was a cool illustration of a guy leaning up against an arcade machine.
Yeah, yeah, that's the cover to issue one.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, that looks cool. Like, tell me about that, Jamie. And you're like, oh, that's just going to be on Comixology. It's like, whatever.
It's a super, super fun,
that's awesome,
I think, kinetic book. I really... What's really fun about doing stuff digitally is you don't have to worry about CMYK printing. So colors are just bonkers McGee in it, right? It's, I was able
to... You have to worry about it now if you decide to print it, though. What happens?
Right. Well, luckily, I think about colors in CMYK because I can't get away from it, guys. I'm an old fool. But I being able to use, like, 100% magenta, right? It's just, when do you get to do that in a comic book?
That's true.
So I got to do it in a comic book, and then I also got to splice my face in it. I don't know. Have you guys seen that panel?
No,
it's one of my favorite things I've ever done. I hid myself in the comic book. I made myself a screen tone. So I just like screen toned my face and added all the dots to it.
That's awesome.
And I copied and pasted it in a, there is a beaded curtain that projects images and it's just a background detail, but there's a super sexy spy character. She walks up through the curtains, and just so happens I was at a wedding and the photographer caught a picture of me dancing and like looking to the side. And I was like, oh my God, this is the perfect image. So she's walking up the stairs through this beaded curtain and I'm like side eyeing her, like checking her out.
That's awesome.
It's so funny.
That's wonderful. So Pink Lemonade and the Baboon is on Kickstarter right now. You guys are like 7,000% over your goal. But hey, man, keep backing this thing because it looks really great. Jamie, you're honestly one of my favorite people in comics and just one of my favorite people in general. You're just a good dude. You've got a good sense of self. You're a funny guy. And yeah, man, we wish you all the best. And this is your third time being on The Word, bro.
Yes, you're like our favorite guest on the show.
Well, take that, Drew Moss.
I think Drew's been on twice. You've been, this is your third time. Scoot McMahon and Dave Scheid, is that how you pronounce his name?
Scheid.
Yeah, Scheid have been on twice.
Twice, yeah.
So right now you're leading going into the clubhouse, Jamie Jones. If you keep doing stuff, we're gonna have to keep having you on.
I'm the unofficial third word bro.
Jamie, I can't think of anybody better to be.
Yes, you're pretty much the third bro. Yes. I mean, ever since that day at Whole Foods, you were the third bro.
That's right.
We'll always have Whole Foods. And that's another reason why I wanted to talk to you, because we didn't get to do Heroes this year. So we didn't get to see any of our friends and hang out and do any of that fun stuff. So this is a nice just kind of get together, because I know we talk over text every now and then, like on Facebook Messenger, but to actually see that that ginger beard is just...
It's phenomenal. Yeah.
It really
yeah.
makes my day.
It's next level, because he didn't have that last time.
No, you're growing up, Jamie. It. You're growing up.
Yes, he's like Michael Cera from from Scott Pilgrim. Like, you saw him like 20 years ago, and you're like, oh, that's Scott Pilgrim. Now you see him with a beard, and you're like, I'm not sure if that's really him. It's, look how big our boy's gotten, Bob.
I know.
Right. You know, I'm slowly morphing into more and more of a 1920s cartoonist.
And I can't. And if anybody deserves that, Jamie Jones, it's you.
Definitely. Yeah. Like, yes. Because I mean, if there was a Captain America for comics, it would be you. You would be the Captain America of comics, Jamie Jones.
So, Jamie, where can we find you on Instagram and all that jazz?
Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It's all Art of Jamie Jones. Although my Facebook is so unupdated.
Yeah, but you do a lot of like live stuff there where you're doing drawings and stuff.
You're drawing, which I've watched you draw before.
That's just under my account, which I don't necessarily friend request everybody. I'm not at that point.
All right. Maybe I should be. All right. I mean, give the people what they want, you know, and you're drawing, you're doing your thing. Jamie Jones is out there hustling. He's busting ass.
Bobby, you forget that he had the Red Scare during his time. So he
it's true. Yeah, so. He's got it all going. The Baboon Pink Lemonade live on Kickstarter right now. Go check that out. Get yourself a book. Jamie, it's always a pleasure.
You're the best.
You are.
I love you guys.
I love you too, man.
We love you too, man.
You're always fun to talk. And we still got to do that Danger Bear book, son. Like that is my...
That is my jam.
It's got to happen.
It does. There are not many things that have to happen. But again, as we talked about earlier, we really can't try. I can't do nothing for you, Jamie Jones. Like, I can't color your work. I can't do anything. So
we have to pay you.
Yeah, we have to pay you with American money, and that's difficult sometimes.
Well, let me just as a further plug, I did the Monkeys Fighting Robots magazine.
I know, that's awesome.
They asked us if we could do something, and that's why I asked you what you were doing, because I was like, we should do something.
I was like, I'm busy.
I
was so busy because I was working on the strip for that. I did 59 panels for 2 pages for that,
that magazine. That's crazy. I think you showed it to me. You did send an entire
new coloring scheme. I figured out how to do retro coloring.
Of course you did.
Like, like the way Pisker and Jim Rugg do.
That's awesome.
I'm now next level old school comic book.
That's awesome. That's so great. That's so wonderful.
But you always talk about listening to their show. So every time you're like, did you listen to Cartoonist? He'll message me every now and then. I'll get a message out of the blue. Jamie will be like, did you listen to Cartoonist Kayfabe? And I'm like, no, not today. I've been working. And he's, no, you got to hear this one. And he'll tell me and I'll send the link and everything. He's into it. It's great.
There's some good stuff. They've got some good interviews. Yeah. I think I might have sent you because I've listened to it a few times, but their Eric Larson interview was great.
Well, I mean, that makes sense because you're all about the Savage Dragon now.
I am.
So, and I'm all about, we here at Word Bros are all about Jamie Jones. Jamie, thank you so much. Like that was a good segue, right?
You're a pro.
It's true. I am. So Jamie, thank you so much for coming on, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon, buddy. I'm sure we will.
Of course we will. Yeah, I can't let anyone dethrone me.
You're like Jack Lemmon, essentially. Like, not Jack, was it Jack Lemmon? No. Who was the guest who was on Conan O'Brien all the time because he lived up the street and they would send a car for him? He was on The Odd Couple. He was on the TV show.
It's either
Tony Curtis.
Tony Curtis.
Tony Curtis. You're our Tony Curtis. No, it was Tony Curtis. What was it? Why can't I think of his name?
It's Jack Lemmon or Tony. They're both on the TV show.
No, they're in the movie. No, it's not.
Klugman? Jack Klugman?
Not Jack Klugman. It's the other one.
Oh, God. Who is the other guy?
I'm getting old.
Felix somebody. No, Felix is the show. It's his name on the show.
And Felix Unger. It's Jamie, you should know this.
You grew up with this guy. He's from your neighborhood.
The Odd Couple TV show was, I can't believe I don't remember. This is such a sad day for my brain. Tony Randall.
That's why you thought it was Tony Curtis.
Tony Randall. Yeah, Tony Randall lived like right up the street from Conan O'Brien, his studio. So whenever they needed people, they would just send a car for Tony Randall and he would just show up.
That's fantastic.
Be on the show. Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, Jamie, you're the best. Thank you so much. Yeah, we'll talk to you soon, man.
Yeah.
And you're going to crush this Kickstarter, boy. You got this.
It's already been crushed. There's nothing to crush.
Oh, well, I'm just trying to get him to, like, you know.
I mean, he almost fucked himself by saying he's making money on this thing.
I was trying to get him to, like, 9,000% so he could be, like, he could do, like, a Dragon Ball Z, like, baboon. 9,000!
Listen, if we get to 9,000%, I don't know what I'll do, but I'll do something.
If we get to 9,000%, next year's buffet.
Next year's Whole Foods buffet?
It's on you.
It's on you.
And that was our dear friend and good guy, wonderful Jamie Jones. I love Jamie.
I mean, Jamie's hard not to love. He has like that Muppet affectation that we were discussing.
Maybe we were just talking about it before we hit record to do the outro. Like, Jamie Jones is kind of a Muppet in the best way possible. Like, I don't mean that in a disparaging kind of mean-spirited way. I mean, like, in the fun loving everyone loves a Muppet kind of vibe, you know?
Yeah, he's family friendly and like, you know, it's like the Muppet Show.
He's family friendly all ages, but kind of dangerous too, you know? Like, they're gonna slide in a dirty joke in every once in a while.
Yeah. That's definitely Jamie Jones in a nutshell.
Yep, his Kickstarter might be going on. I'm not sure
if it will. He's got 8 days left.
Yeah, but that's right now when we're recording.
Oh, yeah.
We're not going to put this out, I think, for 13 days. So his Kickstarter is probably over, but keep an eye out for the Pink Lemonade Baboon Jamboree. So that'll be coming out soon. So keep your eyes open for that. And then we have our next guest, Melissa, who's waiting to come in. So let's talk to her, and we will say adieu to the Jamie Jones episode. Thank you for listening. We'll speak to you soon. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.